Now, Paulie D, as I call him, it makes him sound more sinister. Paulie D did go to prison. Paulie D was ordered to pay restitution. Jenkins and Gilchrist did have to pay restitution. But I want you to think about two things. Mo money, mo problems, says the prophet Michael Scott from The Office. Second, and more importantly, think about how that decision impacted not just my friends, all of whom landed on their feet because they're smart people and they went to a really good law school and they were able to find other work. Think about what that decision meant 5 years, 6 years after the fact for all the support staff who worked at those offices, for all of the file clerks and the paralegals and the administrative assistants and the runners. All those people lost their jobs because the partnership at a now defunct law firm decided we want to put money over what we, if we looked clearly through clear eyes that aren't clouded by $267 million, we could see that this is not a good idea. That's case study number two. Case study number three, I'm going to truncate a bit. It's detailed in great length in the paper. I actually got this, I believe, from my case studies that I did in law school with Professor Dzienkowski for professional responsibility. Firestone and Breezeville. So imagine, if you will, it is my 13th birthday. October 14th, 1991, a day that will live in infamy. For me anyway, because that's when my voice really started to deepen. But more importantly, it lived in infamy for the lawyers at Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher. At that point in time, a senior associate is preparing a very key witness in a commercial dispute between Breezeville, which is Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher's client, and Firestone, which is Jones Day's client. The deposition is occurring the following day, a Monday, in the firm's London office. And this senior associate, who we've all been there, you're on the verge of making partner, you do not want to screw anything up. Oh my gosh, you can't make a mistake. And you know, if something goes wrong, you're probably going to have the hammer dropped on you. Okay? This guy is sitting there, and the witness starts acting squirrely. And everybody in this room knows what I mean when you're prepping a witness and the witness starts to act squirrely. Because it's happened to every one of us here. Well, what do you mean? I thought you said earlier. Okay, I forged all the documents, and my boss, who's the president of the company, told me to do it. What? That's a problem. A big problem, because this is the key witness who's arguing that these invoices were timely and were not paid. But apparently the president of the company told this person to forge it. Oh, and by the way, the person kept the original invoices, the correct ones, kept all those documents, as well as the stuff that she used to forge it at her house. So what do you do if you are this senior associate after you stop vomiting in a trash can? What do you do? You call your boss. In fact, this guy, to his credit, called every single partner whose number he had. Now, this is 1991. So cell phones look like the one from Saved by the Bell, right? They weigh like 12 pounds. Calls are like $9.99 a minute. And as my mom said, you better have two broken legs and four flat tires if you're going to use that phone to make a call on the side of the road. Well, this is one of those times. He eventually reaches some partners, including one of the partners in the London office. They agree to bring the witness in. The deposition starts at 1. They bring the witness in. The senior partner and the associate are talking to this witness. She is telling them how she forged all these documents, the documents that are the foundation of their case. That means that now that they know that they filed false pleadings. And then the senior partner gets a call from the president of Breezeville. And he doesn't mention what's going on in his office. And this partner makes the decision that he's going to let this deposition go forward. Now, I fundamentally disagree with that decision. In the end, what happened was this. I forgot to mention a very important thing. Prior to this deposition, Firestone offered Breezeville $3.5 million to settle this case. And that offer was still on the table when all this stuff goes down. And on Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher's advice, Breezeville rejected that offer. There are two issues in this scenario, and I'll tell you what ultimately happened. You can read about it. It's most of the paper, actually. There's a lot of court decisions about it. Nothing here is private or secret or anything. It's all been publicly reported. So Breezeville gets poured out. Then Breezeville sues Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher for malpractice. It bounces back and forth, and eventually Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher wins.